Okay, so essentially, we were in the middle of Shishu from Lechefa, and we're basically dividing it at the Hagar story, which is the beginning of Perek Tazayin. So to pick up from there, Pasuk Aleph of Tazayin. So the Torah tells us, V'sarai Eishas Avram, Lo Yol Lo, V'lo Ashukha Mitzvus Ushma Hagar. So Sarah has not had any children to Avram. This unusual language doesn't say that she was barren, just says she has not given birth to him. Emphasis seems to be on a couple of points, the point of her desire specifically to have Avram's child, the recognition of the whole legacy that should come from him, and also her crucial role in that. Musalavichik and his drashas emphasized how the future of Klal Yisrael would not have come together without Sirus, the partnership of Avram and Sarah, and that's essentially what this pasuk perhaps is emphasizing if you pay attention to its unusual language. And the Shifcha Mitzris, so Rashi tells us that Hagar was the daughter of Paro, and that Paro had essentially given her to Avram, and said that this person, Avram, is such a figure that better you should be a Shifcha to him than to be a noblewoman somewhere else. And one could say that this is really a very strong statement about Paro and about Hagar and about their value system. And Hagar, as we know, really is a complex character. A lot to be said for her at the same time as there is what to be critical of. And this recognition is something perhaps to find impressive. And the truth is, we also find in the days of Yosef that the Paro who's involved there also, some of the Mefarshim point out that it's very much to that Paro's credit that he's able to recognize people of character, people of stature, and the esteem that Paro has for Yosef. So here we find also Paro having a recognition of the importance of Avram, which is not something to disparage. The Reim, commenting on Rashi, also notes that you see this is a statement about Avram as well, a statement that Avram had become such a respected figure that kings recognized this, and that it was a tremendous statement about him. Okay, so Vatomer Saroy El Avram, Hinena Atzarani Hashem Miledes, Bona El Shechasi, Ulai Bona Mimena, Vayishma Avram Lekol Saroy. So here Sarai says, I've been held back from having children. Again, it's an unusual language, which leads some of the Mefarshim to suggest that maybe she had had a child earlier, had a daughter, Bakol. It's a whole discussion that maybe Avram had a daughter called Bakol. The Torah says that Avram was blessed with Bakol. Maybe that's a reference to Abbas. So the language here in the Pasuk, which doesn't stay straight out that Sarai never had children, but rather the language a little bit connotes I've been held back from having children, maybe fits with that. And this idea of Ayishma Avram Lekol Sarah, you listen to the voice, the first from here highlight the fact that it wasn't just he was listening to Sarah, but to Sarai, but he was listening to the call, he was listening to the Ruach HaKodesh, Shabbat, to his recognition that she was somebody of Nevuah, and that what she said should be listened to. So even though he had no interest in marrying Hagar, but he did that because that's what he perceived to be the word of God, essentially. So the Tikach Sarai Eshes Avram Es Hagar Hamitzvah Shulchasa Miketz Es Oshanim Hashem Es Avram Be'eretz Kenan Vatite Nosali Avram Isha Lo Isha. So here she took Hagar and she gave Hagar to Avram to be a wife. Vayavo Hagar Vatahar Vatera Ki Harasa Vatekal Givirta Be'enah. So you see here there is this unfortunate descent that Hagar becomes pregnant, and you see already right away that causes her to feel superior to Sarah, and that she no longer had the same level of respect, that Sarah became light in her eyes. So Batoma Sarai Lavram Khamasi Alacha Anothinasati Shivchasi Bhikakha Batera Kiharasa Bekalbena Yishbot Hashem Beni Vena. So you see that Sarai says to Avram, here you've done wrong by me, that I've given you my shivcha for you, and now that she become pregnant, so she hates me, or she is demeaning me, So God should make judgment about this. Vayomer Avram el Sarai, hinei shifchaseich biyodeich, asila hatov benayich, vatanea Sarai vatidrach miponea. So Avram said, well, it's up to you to do what you feel is right. And apparently Sarah comes down very hard on her, and she ends up running away. And the Ramban has a comment here, it's a long discussion. Ramban says that Sarai was wrong, that this was a mistreatment, and that this is one of the places where the Ramban has critical comments about the Avos. She does have in a few places. So here is one of them. That he comments that Sarah behaved improperly here. There's Naim Latorah, the Lutzkarav, has a comment where he says it's hard to believe because we find that she's told to go back. So why should she be told to go back to an environment where she's not being treated kedin? So you have to assume that it's more than that. But this is one of the points of the Mefarshim debate. So the pasuk continues, "V'imsa'a ha'malach Hashem alein ha'mayim b'mibar al ha'ayin v'derech shur." So she was found by a malach. She was found by an angel by the fountain of water in the desert on the way to Shur. And this idea of confronting an angel in the desert, so Soloveitchik talked about this in his drashas as well. He said that this was God's way of trying to remind her of the spirituality that was in Avram's house, and therefore his language was to fire up in her spirit that she should want to go back. So, in any event, so she meets this angel. And Vayomar Hagar Shifcha Sarai Eimizevas Vana Selechi Vatomer Vnei Sarai Girti Anelti Barachas. So he says to her, Hagar, you're Sarai Shifcha, where are you coming from? Where are you going? And she said, I'm running away from my mistress, from Sarai. So here, this is the Avraham Torah's point. He says that you should go back to her and go back to the situation that you're describing. Apparently, it's hard to see how that could be wrong then. It says, Vayomer lo malach Hashem, harba arba es zareich v'lo yisofer mirov. And the angel says, I'm telling you, you're going to have this tremendous nation that's going to be your descendants, you're not going to be able to count because there's so many. V'yomer lo malach Hashem, hina achara v'yoladet tevein, v'karas ha-shmo Yishmael, hishama Hashem es anyeich. So here, your son is named Yishmael because Yishmael represents this idea that God has heard your suffering. But it's not going to be so pashut raising him. Vehu yeh pera adam, yado vachol, v'yad kolbo, v'yalpnei kol echav yishkom. So he's going to be a wild man. He's going to be a pera adam. He's going to have his hand on everybody. Everybody's going to have his hand on him, which is unfortunate to discuss as a connotation. He's going to start fights. They're going to start fights with him. And he's going to live in the presence of all of his brothers. So here there's Lam Torah as a comment again. You know, why does he tell her this? This is not really an inspiration. So why is he telling Hagar this message? So he suggests that it's because he wants her to start working on it, to create an environment in his education where you could change this inclination. And we do find that she tries. She marries him off to a girl from Mitzrayim, which at that point was the center of culture, to somebody who should be a refining influence on him. But still, we know that it doesn't really work. But that was perhaps the point. So, Vatikra Hashem Hashem Hadaver Eleha Ata Kel Roi Ki Amra Hagam Halom Roisi Acharei Roi. So she called up to the name of God who spoke to her and said, God, see me? Because she said, have I also here looked after him who sees me? Alkein Karl Be'er Be'er L'chai Roi. So she calls, therefore the bear is called Bar Chayroi. But Taylor Hagar Avram Bain, Vayikra Avram, Shem Benoah, Sheol Hagar Yishmael, indeed. Avram calls the baby Yishmael, Avram Ben Shnoim Shonim, Shay Shonim, Beletis Hagar is Yishmael Avram, and Avram is 80 years old, and 86 years old, when Hagar gives birth to Yishmael. And that's the end of that parak. So now the Aliyah continues for a few more psukim. So we'll just focus on one idea from here. Vayhi Avram ben Tishim Shana. So now he's fast forward from the space of one pasuk. He's now 90. 99 rather, I'm sorry. So we fast forward 13 years. Vayi Avram and Teshim Shana v'seish Hashanim. Vayera Hashem al Avram v'yomer elav ani kel shakai yisalach v'fanai v'hei samim. So here Avram is told to be perfect with God, to be tumim with God, which means not to be looking to other influences, not to be looking to other gods or other forces in the world. V'yadnav risi b'ni uv'necha v'nchot. And I will put my covenant between me and between you, and I will multiply you tremendously. So Avram falls on his face, and God speaks to him and says, "Ani hinei rishi tach v'yisa la'av hamon goyim." So my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of many nations. V'lo yikari od es shimcha Avram. Avram. V'haya shimcha av roham ki av hamon goyim saticha v'hifarti ascha v'ma'od ma'od v'nasati v'goyim v'malachem mimcha yitzei. So I will make you very fruitful and kings will come from you, and you're not going to be called Avram anymore, you're going to be called Avram. So what's the significance of that pasuk? So the Gemara in Masechet Brachos, the end of the first parak, the Gemara takes that pasuk pretty seriously. The Gemara says that Kol HaKorei LaAvraham, Avram, over Ba'aseh, that's the first opinion. And then the second opinion says it's also Alosaseh, that it's a positive mitzvah to only call him Avraham. And it's Alosaseh to call him Avram. So what exactly is the scope of that pasuk, or what exactly is the intent, is a big question. The poskim do not bring this, Lalacha, you don't find this in Shulchan Aruch, except in the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram has the section Hafas Maso Matan and Aruch Chaim, where he brings all kinds of random things, including Lashon Hara, some pretty major concepts, that Nekim and Atira, things like that, all the things which are not anywhere else in Shulchan Aruch. So there he brings this, but for the most part the poskim don't, and some say that they don't think there's a real din in our Torah, it's really an asmachta. But even if it's an asmachta, as the Marsha points out, so still it means a din d'rabbanan, so it should still be brought. So it's a question of what exactly the scope of this is. The Pnei Maven in his Tshuva says that the Rambam, his understanding probably is that this is not a real din, but it's really a minhag tov, it's a good practice. The Tzlach, in his commentary to Bracha, suggests that maybe it's not a leap of the hilchus at all, because this whole discussion that appears at the end of the first parak of Brachos, the reason it does is because it comes off the Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Brachos, where there's a machlokas about Chachamim and Benazai, and the Zomar rather, about what's going to happen in the ultimate Geula, what's going to happen to Yetzias Mitzrayim. That Ben Zoma was of the opinion that it's going to be forgotten about, that it's going to be such a major miracle and an event that no one's going to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim anymore. And the Chachamim say, no, Yetzias Mitzrayim is still going to be a subject, but the next school is going to be a bigger deal. So that'll be the prominent theme, the dominant theme, but Yetzias Mitzrayim will still be there in the background. So then the Gemara gets into this whole discussion about Avram and Avraham. So Tzlach writes that the idea that Avraham had to totally wipe out Avram, that's like Ben Zoma, who says that the Geula Hasid has been totally wiped out since the period of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But Chachamim, the Paskin against him, that Yetzias Mitzrayim still has a place, so that means we don't hold by this whole drasha, and Avram still can be mentioned together with Avram. In the Sefer Chadashim Gan Mishanim, he writes that, this is Jonas from Steif, that maybe is just talking about laning, that when you're laning, you have to make sure to get it right and say Avraham instead of Avram. And the reason it's not brought to halacha is because laning, you have to get every word right anyway, so it doesn't end up having much of an afkamina, but the scope of this din, theoretically, would be in the context of laning. Hi.
My great-grandfather, who adopted actually went by Avram, despite his name being
Avram. So that's also a discussion, whether it applies to modern-day people whose names are Avram, whether this issue should apply to them. So there's discussion about that in post-mortem. There is a discussion about that, what exactly is the scope of this. Some understand this being referenced not only to Avram Avinu, but only during the lifetime of Avram Avinu, that it was talking about people who were associated with him. So the Maharal Diskin understands like that. Problem is that the end, the very last lines of the first parak of Brachos, the Gemara asks, so how come we say in Davin, we quote the Pasuk, Asher Bacharta Be'Avram, Vosisiv Mi'ar Kazdin, So there we say Avram, so not Avram. So the Gemara says, because there the Pasuk is talking about the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the miracles that he did, and it's talking about the past. So in that context, back when he was Avram, so that's legitimate. But to call him in current usage Avram is where you have a problem. Sefer Lekutei Simcha, he understands that it's davka problem in davening. When you daven in the Maaskei the Avos, Avram should be mentioned. Even if you say it's legitimate, like the Gemara says, to say Hashem Bachayta Avram in that context, so it's still worthwhile to have a discussion why we do that. Why do we feel a need to invoke Avram in our davening instead of Avraham? And in the Sefer Minchas David, he has a discussion about this. And part of what one could suggest is to be consistent with what we mentioned last week, and we're still holding in the same Aliyah, but the Aliyah starts off talking about that episode, or Kazdim, and the miracle that happened there. So we mentioned that it parallels Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that that parallel perhaps is there to help us, that we draw the schus of the growth of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was patterned after what Avram went through as an individual. So too, we need to have this memory of Avram. That's a part of our inspiration that we grow from. The Gemara also contrasts this with Yaakov. The same Gemara there in Brachos notes that Yaakov's name is changed to Yisrael, but we don't find any Isser to use the name Yaakov. Apparently they both coexist, Yaakov and Yisrael. And the Gemara says that that's because of the Torah. The Torah keeps referring to Yaakov afterwards, so therefore apparently it's not a problem, and that's the difference. But still, we have to know why there's a difference. So the Stipler in his Sefer Birkas Peretz has a comment that the difference that Avraham is a Lashon of Svara, that the first Avram was an Av Aram, and then he became a Av Hamon Goyim. So when he reached that position of authority, so that it's a bizarre to use the earlier Lashon. That's not right. It takes someone down. My father, it's Chonavach, used to always comment that he thinks when people went to school with people who became, say, prominent Rabbanim or other professions or other positions of influence, and they continued to talk about them by their first names, and I knew him when, he thought that that was a real issue of Anas Tvarim, it's a real demeaning of the person by saying just because I knew them back before they were so accomplished, use that kind of reference as a problem. So to hear, we're being told that Avram is now his new stature, so to refer to him as Avram is not nice. It's an act of disrespect. But in the context of Yaakov and Yisrael, so Yaakov is a name of his youth, but the name Yisrael refers to the idea that Kisavisa, that because you struggled and you prevailed, so that, says the Stipler, that's not an absolute status change. That's a reference to one episode in his life. So we want to remember that episode, but there'll be other episodes where he's not going to have such a successful struggle and where it's going to go up and down. So therefore, to have the names Yaakov and Yisrael coexisting, that's fundamentally different than the way Avraham replaces Avram. The Maram Shik has a few comments about this. The Maram Shik was a great Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, and he wrote the Svarim of Shalos and Chubas and the like, and he had many drushes. So a few years ago, they made Svarim of Maram Shik ala Torah, where they took his drushes and they took his other writings from the Chubas and the like, and they put them in order of the Chumash, so you can see a lot of his comments. Sometimes there are comments that are from different years, so there's a lot of comments on the same thing. So he has a few comments in different places that are all gathered together in the Sefer and Chumash about Yaakov and Avram and Avraham and Avram, about this whole concept. So the Maram Shik says about Yaakov that Yaakov was a name of his youth, and Yisrael is a name of stature, is a name of gaiva, it's a name of being elevated. And it's important that when one is in such a position that he still have on Yivus and remember his humble beginnings. So therefore, God is encouraging that Yisrael and Yaakov should coexist. And the Stavka the Malach is the Sar Shalesa, who is his enemy, who said, your name should be Yisrael. He's trying to basically lull him into a sense of overconfidence, trying to tell him, just focus on how great you are, don't focus on your humble beginnings, and that's not really what we want from him. So therefore, we use both names. And the Maharam Shir also comments on the difference between Avram and Avraham, and this is a little bit of synergy to what was discussed in our discussion right before Shir. It says that Avram had two milas, that he has the mila, had many milas, but there are two milas that are focused on. He was a philosopher, he was a great intellectual who discovered God, and he was also somebody of tremendous love for God and love for people, that he was able to share that and to bring people into that. So Avram is his status as a philosopher, as a father, a leader to those who are high-minded, to those who are intellectual. But that, as we heard before, not everybody is into intellectual things, not everybody is brought in by that. So therefore, the status of Avraham is something that we take note of, that he was also able to reach out to other people and to have such an influence on the world, so that becomes the name that lasts. Okay, so let's just spend a few minutes looking at Shishiyah, this week's Parsha, at Shishiyah of Vayera. We can combine the two like we did today, because Vayera is a jam-packed Parsha. There is somewhere I have a sefer here, you can see. So another moment of weird synergy. So yesterday we made two references to the same Avraham Shir, and kind of a weird coincidence. So here's another synergy, it's just a kind of a weird repeating of things. So this week we also quoted from the Rashi of the Gates of Yeshiva, Rulei Gurbitz. So there's a sefer called Minchas Achayim. Minchas Achayim is written by someone from Gateshead, where Haskam is from Gurbitz and others, and all the Lakewood, and all the Gateshead, from the Gateshead, Talmud Chachamim. And the sefer called Minchas Achayim, I have it here, it's this thick. It's all on Parshas Vayera. The entire sefer is on Parshas Vayera. So Vayera has a lot to talk about, but it happens to be that Shishi of Vayera is less intense than the other aliyahs, which include stone and the visit of the angels. And this is the Chastain. Not bad. I'm not aware of him having written on any other parshas. Okay, so 670 pages on Parshas Vayera. So probably the smallest section is on this aliyah. So just to say a few words, you know, next year or next aliyah is the Akedah. There's a lot in Vayera. This aliyah is not the aliyah that is most well known. Might be number 7 on the list, or definitely not in the top 4 of the aliyahs, but. In any event, so let's just begin. So, in Pasuk of Beis, it says, "Vayhi ba'isahi v'yomer Avimelech v'fichol saitzuro al Avraham lemor Elohim imcha v'chal asher ata oseh." So, at that time, what does that time mean? So, according to some of the Farshim, it's a random time. At some time, it happened. Once upon a time, that's what it means. But others say, no, it means a specific time. It means that this is after Yitzchak was born. So at that time, the world got the impression that Avram was really blessed, whether it's because this represents a certain kind of shleimus, or whether it's just that this was another event, like Rashi quotes, after escaping stone and winning the war with the kings, and now having a child at an advanced age, it's clear there's something going on with this guy, that this is a person who God is with, so it's a good time to make a deal. It's interesting that what's not mentioned in the Minchas Achayim comments, that all these things that God was with him for, it doesn't mention how Avimelech himself got struck with this mysterious illness to help the purposes of Avram. That should also be on the list. So it comments how you see how people are self-protective and they don't want to mention things like that, and therefore therefore you see that this is not the kind of thing that he mentions as an example of God being with you. In any event, there is also an interpretation here that's different. The Minchas Achayim also has a comment that B'chol Asher Atah Oseh, that everything that you do, that it means that you get to Siyat Hashmaya if you actually do stuff. If somebody just sits and waits for God to help, it's not going to do anything. but those who actually take steps and who do things. So that's where Siyat Shmaya comes from. And it happens to be that Vilna Gaon has a very similar idea that he references in Parshat Vayeshev. And the Pasuk says, V'chol asher hu oseh Hashem matzliach biyado, regarding Yosef, the same idea that when he was doing things, so then God gave him Hatzlacha. So this idea, again, that he says, I want to join with you because Hashem imcha, Elkim imcha, so what does that mean? It means that God is on your side or you're on God's side. So others see it that way, that everything you do for the sake of God, and it means not necessarily a life of precious where you're not involved in anything in this world, but you are, you're involved in eating and drinking and the like, and you do that all with the purpose of sanctifying God's name, so I see you are with God. And Hanukh Leibowitz, the Rosh Yeshiva in Chofetz Chaim, comments that this has to do with Avram's personality of Chesed, and that Chesed, as we've discussed in the past, Chesed is, this is a theme throughout the Parsha, so it comes up here also, that Chesed can be done to help people who need, that's the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, and Chesed is also done to be godlike, to be in fulfillment of Ahalachta B'Dracha, to imitate God's path. So the fact that Avram had just moved his tent to be in a more public place where he'd be able to help more people, so you see that it's not just that he's helping people who he runs into who need assistance, but apparently he's so godlike that he's looking to be a constant fountain of chesed. So when he saw that, he said, oh, okay, I see that's what you're about, and therefore you are with God. Okay, so to continue a little bit, so then he says, V'ata hishav ali ve'ilhim, heina im tishkar li, ilanini unachti, kachesed asher asisi imcha, so now you should take a shvua that you're not going to deal falsely with me or my son and my grandson, and instead you should act to me like the kindness I did to you, which is quite a statement, right? The kindness I did to you. So vayomer Avraham anochi yishaveya. So Avraham says, okay, I'll do it. V'hochiach Avraham es avimelech alodos b'hamayim asher gozlu avdei avimelech. But he also takes this moment to give him some mussar about the wells that his avadim, that Abimelech's avadim, had taken from him. So that's an interesting decision. The Midrash Sachaim has a comment over here that he doesn't really feel bad about it from a monetary perspective. That's why it doesn't say, like the Nitziv comments, Asher Gozlum Bimeni. But he feels that he has to speak up when such a blatant falsehood, he comes and says, oh, I've been so good to you, now you be good to me. So now he feels, I can't let such a sheker go. I have to comment. I have to say, well, you know what your avadim do. And then Menachas Sachaim also comments that he was making this statement not to the avadim, but to Avimelech, because he's also trying to convey to him that the corruption comes from the top, that they stole because they learned to steal from you, that they learned that your behavior towards Sarai was an act of gezel, and therefore you are responsible for their behavior, what they are doing on your behalf. Okay, so to continue, it says, Vayomer Avimelech, lo yadati mi asos adavar hazeh, v'gam atah lo hikadati li, v'gam anochi lo shamati bilti ayom. So Avimelech says, oh, I didn't know anything about this, and you didn't tell me about it, that I didn't hear until today. But again, if the previous point is true, his message is, maybe you didn't know, but you set a tone, you gave the impression that this is something that is okay, and look what happened. So, Vayikach Avraham, son of Akar, Vayitin Avimelech, Vayichusu Shnei Bris. So, Avraham took son of Akar, and he gave them to Avimelech, and they both divided it and made a bris. Even though it's Avraham who's doing the giving here. And that's in the Mefarshim discuss also. You think it should be mutual. So Avraham apparently didn't want that because of the influence that was given Avimelech. In any event, he's the one doing the giving. But yet save Avraham as Sheva Kivso Satzon Levadahen. So he set seven sheep together by themselves. And here the Medrash HaGadol says that the seven is to represent the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. That he's trying to say, again, this message of Gezel, that you shouldn't violate the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, which include Gezel. So here the Mechatzim has another comment, that, okay, but that's only one. So why do I have to have a symbolism of seven if I'm trying to focus specifically on one? And he makes the point that once you're not committed to any principle of the system, so the whole principle, the whole system unravels. So if you're not careful about Gezel, then you're not going to be careful about anything. And therefore, it's not just this one specific that's at risk, but it's really the whole system that could collapse, and that was the message he was making. Okay, so we'll just finish reading the psukim. It's v'yomer ki hashava kavosos tikaf miyodi v'avur tiyeli le'edo ki chafarti es haver hazos. So these seven sheep you should take, that they should be a witness that I've dug this well. Ken karo l'makom ahu be'er shava ki sham nishbu shneim. So they called it be'er shava because that was where they swore. Vayichusu v'ris be'er shava, and they made a bris there. Vayakam avimelech v'pichol sartzego v'yashuvu el eretz plishtim, and back to plishtim. Vayita eishel be'er shava v'yikrasham b'shem Hashem kel olam. So there also, here you have this theme that Avram is declaring God's name to everyone, that he sets up the eishel. Eishel is really a tree, but we know that we have this tradition that eishel stands for achila, shtia, and lina. He basically set up a motel, he set up an inn to serve these people and to be hospitable to them. And the method of the hospitality was to get them to acknowledge God and to praise God. This is all his theme here. And of course, that's the theme that has such an influence for all of Klal Yisrael since. So we just end off, Yagar Avram Beretz Plishtim Yom Ravin, and Avram moved there many days, and we'll leave it on that note. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll dive in. Wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Again, I guess more you'll be in touch with you tomorrow to work out the details of who's Skype number, phone number.